Hey, I'm Scott, and I'm an American in Bangkok. Welcome to An American in Bangkok. Today's subject stems from something I saw in this morning's news, and it's something that's been going on for a while down in Phuket. And, you know, Phuket is the kind of place that if you have no problems, it can be one of the most fantastic places you ever visit. It's a beautiful place. If you go to certain parts of Phuket, it's absolutely beautiful. It's gorgeous. You know, you're sitting at the top of a cliff in some nice resort, and you're overlooking the ocean, and the sun is out, and it can be magnificent. And I lived there down in Patong. I lived there for about a year. Many years ago, before I moved back to Bangkok and got married and got involved with my wife and everything. And you know, I had my share of problems there. Now, here's the thing. Anywhere that there's a lot of drink, you know, a lot of bars, a lot of people partying, there are bound to be problems, okay? And my problems stem from someone drinking, and then, you know, I had been, you know, I wasn't in the greatest of moods because at the time, the place I was working for was getting ready to go under, and I was going to have to move back to Bangkok and figure things out. How was I going to make a living? And I wasn't exactly in the greatest mood. And then, you know, I had been seeing some girl, and she was giving me a hard time. And then this guy who was a little drunk, you know, we got into a skirmish, and we had this problem. And fortunately, I got out of it relatively unscathed, and there were no problems. But let me think here. There was another time when I was in a club. I don't remember the name of it. It was at the very end of what is it? Soi Bangla. It used to be open all night long, and there's like a little complex of like three or four bars. I don't remember the name of it. It's not the beach end of Soi Bangla, but it's the main street, the main drag there. It's right there what's that? Valhalla. You know, it's on the way to the Valhalla. What is it? The hotel or whatever it is. I'd been talking to some woman, and the next thing you know, we're like off in a corner and, you know, whispering sweet nothings to one another. And we were getting ready to leave, and I started walking out, and a lady boy came up from behind me, and I turned and looked, and boom, she hit me with her high heel shoes. And now apparently this lady boy knew the girl that I was with and didn't like that she was going with me for some reason. I don't know why. Hadn't said a word to this lady boy. And I didn't even know who she was. I was like, what the fuck, man, you know? And so I felt my head, and I was like, shit, man, my head's bleeding, you know? So the thing started walking away from me. It was like, oh, well, you know, because I kind of hunched over, and I was like, oh, shit, that hurt, you know? Then I immediately, you know, as soon as I felt a little bit of blood, I went, holy shit, I just got hit, you know? This fucking thing just hit me. And I turned around, and I walked up from behind it and tapped it on the shoulder, and it turned. And as it turned its head, I cracked it in the jaw and knocked it out. It was out. It was laying in the middle of the road stiff, which I was very proud of that because I was like, all right, I still got the one-punch power. You know, but whatever. I wasn't proud that I had this, you know, this incident happen. And there was a bunch of Thais standing there who were, you know, they didn't know what happened, and they started circling me, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And all of a sudden, a tuk-tuk driver, and I give tuk-tuk drivers a hell of a lot of a hard time, I mean, because I think most of them are scumbags. That's just my opinion, of course, but that's what I think. And the guy goes, hey, jump in. I said, okay. I jumped in, boom, he zipped off. And nobody got me. And I was lucky. I didn't take a beating. Nothing ever happened of that. Now, the reason that I'm really getting into this is because it looks like in Phuket here, there was a few Aussies who were in this club the white room. And one of the guys took his shirt off. And then that was it. They must have told him, hey, put your shirt on or you're getting out. And maybe he told him to fuck off. Who knows? You know, it's hard to say. They took him outside. And one of the guys, it says, he grabbed Trev from around the neck and pushed him down the steps. I want to go in between him and was king hit. So I think he means to say fucking hit. And that's all I remember. And let's see here. It says open bar party. It was supposed to be you pay 800 baht and you get into the bar and it's an open bar. Now, the thing is, the Thais are saying, the Thais involved in the situation, the people who committed the act, these bouncers, they said, oh no, they didn't pay their bill. And it says right here, that's garbage. We went in there with tickets with drinks. We had drink cards that said drink as much as you want from 10 until 1 for 800 baht. Despite the beatings they received, none of the group were seriously injured. Well, that's good. Everybody's just got bruises, split lips, lumps on the back of their head, and skin off, but no major injuries. Not one of us threw a punch, which is probably a good thing. Aaron said the group decided not to go to the police because they feared being locked up themselves. And you see, this is the thing. That's kind of a self-censorship, which is starting to become normal in the world. People want to self-censor themselves because they're more afraid of what's going to happen when they speak up than you know, what's going to happen to the people who committed the acts of violence against them. It says the nightclub's management has sacked the five bouncers involved and condemned their actions. Well, I mean, you know, any halfway intelligent businessman would do that, especially from the looks of things. And, you know, then what really got me is I wasn't going to say anything about this, but I just saw that two people died when an angry mob of people, it says, let's see here, an angry mob of people, I guess they were protesting the treatment of two drug dealers that had been, let's see if it was arrested or what's the deal, let me just double check here. I'm on my computer and yeah, here we go. All right, an angry mob attacked Talang police station and blockaded Tep Krasatji Road in an attempt to get to Superintendent Amnue Krayutian Nan. The group of about 60 protesters descended on the station at about 6 p.m., setting fire to at least six police vehicles. The outraged mob claimed that police used excessive force in their attempt to arrest two suspected drug dealers, Patomwat Panarak and Tirapong Sri Samut. Officers crashed their car into the fleeing suspect's motorbike at 11:30 a.m. yesterday. And, wow. You know, the thing is that here's the thing, in no case is it acceptable to start burning things and attacking police. Really, there is no, you need to at least exhaust the judicial process before you go and do something like this. But of course, we're not talking about average people, we're talking about guys who, you know, somebody says something the wrong way and they might end up beating the shit out of people. This is my own experience. I mean, if you say the wrong thing it tends to be the lower, the people from the lower end of society, the more uneducated people, they don't have as much as some people, and maybe they feel that you're attacking their manhood or you're whatever it may be, you're causing them to lose face, and then they've got to stand up for themselves, and, you know, it's ridiculous. And it says, both suspects died at the crash. Now, at the scene, police found 50 Yaba meth pills. You know, who knows what happened there? But the way to go about things is not to escalate. You know, I mean, I'm just a firm believer of that. Maybe later on, you might have to escalate. I don't know. But for sure, you don't escalate the situation and attack a police station and a blockade and try to go after the superintendent of police. You just don't do that. It's ridiculous because the police are going to win. And they brought in the military to help them with this. And, you know, so you're never going to win. So instead of using force, because one thing I've learned as I've gotten older, and the thing is I don't have, I mean, although I'm a pretty big guy, I'm a pretty husky guy, and I've always been that way physically. I've always been short. I'm only like 5'5". So I'm a little guy. But I'm, you know, even though I'm fairly stout, that doesn't mean shit. There are so many people that could kick the shit out of me. And so one thing, it took me a long time to understand, you know, that when you're trying to be Bruce Lee and you think I'm going to kick the shit out of all these guys. Okay, yeah. I mean, I've been in situations and I've knocked out a couple guys. I've held my own against a group of four or five people. I've done that before, but they didn't know shit about fighting. And these were not guys who were real physical guys. They just, one of them happened to start a fight with me. And the next thing you know, we're involved in a brawl. And, but in almost every case, you're going to lose. Violence is, you know, whoever has more authority generally will win because in the long run, they're going to make sure that they have ample firepower to deal with whatever bullshit is going on. And to me, who knows what happened with these two guys? But you just don't go. And here's another thing, and that is that, all right, I've talked about the bouncers, you know, putting a beating on these Australian tourists. Not exactly a great way to get tourists to come to your country, but who knows what the Australians said. Nevertheless, this is another thing, too, is that, you know, these bouncers, who knows how intelligent they were or are, who knows, you know, what kind of tempers they have. And, you know, like in some of the UFC guys have said that they used to bounce, and a lot of times they used to, what they would do is they would try to speak very nicely and politely, and even, what's his name, Boss Rutten, he said he always tries to get out of the fight, hey, let me buy you a beer, buddy, or whatever it is, listen, let us get you one more beer, but then you gotta leave, okay, please, you know, we don't want to kick you out, but you gotta go, and, you know, I mean, you gotta try to negotiate with people, as opposed to beating the shit out of them, and well, inside my head, there are times when I think, I want to just kick the shit out of this guy, or I want to elbow him in the face. Or there are times I think, oh, I'd love to get violent on this dude. You know, it's not the best way to handle situations in life. And as I've grown older, I've realized this. And one thing is that, you know, as much as I'd like to do this sometimes, or someone else would like to do this to a person or people sometimes, the majority of time, it's just better just to walk away because somebody always gets hurt. And look, I mean, you know, there 6 police vehicles were set on fire. Now, these protesters, I guarantee you, they're going to find a way to come after them and get their money for those police vehicles. However much they figure they cost, these people are going to have to make reparations. Okay. Now, one other reason why I'm getting into this Phuket thing, I mean, even though I'm in Bangkok, it's because I've said it several times. I went to apply for a job at the Phuket Gazette. This is a couple years ago now. And, you know, I was kind of like, eh, I don't know if I really want this job, but, you know, I could use it. And let's see what happens. You know, it might be good for me. I thought maybe it would be good for my career, for my writing career. I thought that maybe it would help me to be a better writer, and it would give me a little more credibility because I had not been writing for boxing magazines or anything like that for a couple of years. I've been involved in the training of boxing and boxers and managing with boxers and coordinating boxing events, that kind of thing. And so I hadn't been writing you know, for pay for quite some time. So I thought, oh, okay. So I go down, I do an interview. They say, okay, listen, we want you to come back. Come back. There's 2 people. And the guy actually told me, I think that, you know, we're probably going to go with you. So, you know, are you willing to move down here? And I was like, yes, yeah, sure, okay. But I wasn't real thrilled about it. Because to get around, I was going to either have to buy a car, which, you know, whatever, or a motorcycle, which I didn't really want to buy because it's quite dangerous. Or I figured I was going to have to get transportation every day, which meant dealing with the motorcycle mafia down there and the tuk-tuk mafia. And that is, you know, when you're dealing with them every single day, there's always going to be some asshole who wants more money than you know what the price is, but he just says, no, I'm not taking you, I don't care. You know, it's 50 baht, not 30, and I'm not taking you. And you may be in a position where you're like, I got to get to work, I got to go, I got to do this, I got to hurry up. So you have to go, you have to do it. And you end up paying. And then what it causes is a lot of bitterness. This whole dual pricing thing that goes on here is something that is not good for the long term. That's what I believe. If Thailand truly wants to be a tourist destination, a top-notch tourist destination, get your shit together, stop overcharging people, tell the whole community, hey, for the long term, it's better if we charge people just one price. But they're never going to do that. Never. Okay, now I didn't want to deal with that. I didn't want to deal with it, and I was thrilled when they said, you know, we decided to go with the other person. I thought, okay, fine, man. That's okay with me, because I really did not want to move down there. So then, a couple of months ago, my wife started talking about changing the location of her job and working in Koh Samui, and then it was working in Koh Samui, and she would almost double what her salary is. And I said, well, you know, there are numerous things we have to think about. First of all, Samui and Phuket are not like where we live in Bangkok, which is, you know, people are not sitting around waiting for the foreigner to come to try to overcharge them. So I don't pay all that much extra here. I know how to go about doing things. I mean, you know, if I go, for instance, if you go to a gym, the prices are usually shown somewhere. So if you go and the gym is charging more money for you because you've got white skin, then you know, hey, they're overcharging me. Or if you go to a place and you're paying and you go, man, that's a little bit too much. And then you ask somebody and they go, oh, no, it's only 40 baht, not 50. You know that that place is a kind of place that because you've got white skin, they figure you got more money and they'll charge you for it. Which, okay, you know, whether I have more money, you see, here's the thing. Whether I have more money or enough money for Thais to think that it's warranted to charge me more money is irrelevant, because the key point that needs to be focused upon is what is fair to people. I mean, you're telling me there's no Thais in Thailand that make as much money as me? Well, then overcharge them. Oh, no, but they're nationals. You know, they grew up here. They live here. They are Thai people. Oh, okay, well, what about me? Because I've lived here for 20 years and I have children that are Thais. My kids were brought here. So anytime I get into a taxi, instead, if that taxi wants to charge me 100 baht, I'm going to go, oh, no. My kids are in charge. They're Thai. Don't charge me money. I'm not paying, so please, just deal with the Thais. And that's never going to happen. So I don't see any of this changing. And I told her, I said, listen, not only am I going to pay more money, it's probably going to be slightly more expensive because these are tourist areas. And then in Samui and in Phuket, you got to deal with the transportation mafia. Getting around the town is going to be a little more of a pain in the ass, a little bit more troubling. And I don't want to have to deal with that horse shit, okay? And while there are very nice Thai people everywhere in Thailand, very kind and giving, and, you know, when it comes to the tourist areas, there are some leeches. There are people who are ready to pounce upon anyone that's a foreigner just so that they can try to make a living for themselves. They come first. It's all about, hey, I got to survive. So they're going to do whatever they have to do. And I didn't want to deal with that bullshit. So, you know, and then the thing is that if, you know, if we were to move there, that means we would have to put my kids into a new school. And every time you put a kid into a new school, at least a private school, you have to pay an entrance fee. Now, that entrance fee might be $100,000 to $200,000 baht. I believe in the school where my kids were, it was something like $150,000. But I got two kids. So guess what that means? You move there, that's 300,000 baht just to get them into school. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend $9,000 that I really don't have just to put my kids into another school. Just for the privilege of putting them in a school that probably doesn't have the level of education that I would expect or that what I think is acceptable. So why am I going to do that? So the thing is while she may make more money, you know, maybe she's going to make, let me think here, maybe she'll make $1,500 more a month. That's almost about double. Say she's making $1,500 more per month, $1,600 more per month. Guess what? The first year of that is going to be spent putting money into the kids' education, just to put them into a new school, and then for transporting everything down there, going back and forth a couple of times. So just the first year is a wash. It's not really worth it. And then the other thing is that you are locked in to living there. We would be locked into living there. And the reason we'd be locked in there is because until the kids get out of school, we don't want to have to go to another place and pay another $9,000 or $10,000 just to get them into another school. You see? So those things alone are enough to make me not really want to move to like a place like Koh Samui or Phuket. And while I understand that there are many, many people who live there and they have absolutely no problems, and that, you know, I know people that have lived in Samui or that live in Samui, and I know people that live in Phuket and who have lived in Phuket and they've never had a problem. I had, you know, two problems. But the thing also to remember is that when you are hanging out in bars, you are in a situation, you are in an area where because of the drinking and perhaps the drugs that are being used or whatever, you are in a situation where there may be a higher incident of violence. So that's something else to remember. And now I don't, you know, I'm not going to bars anymore. I'm not hanging out in them. And, you know, I mean, once in a great while, maybe I'll go with a buddy and have a beer or something like that, or just have a Coke or whatever and just talk. But I seldom go to places like this. So maybe maybe the chance of anything happening is quite a bit less now. But I don't want to be in that situation. You know, I almost never have a problem where I am now, and I love that. I don't want any problems. I don't want any hassles. And I'm sure that, in hindsight, the Australians who went into that club, they probably wish that guy had never taken his shirt off. But who knows what the deal is. I mean, I've been in taxis where I get into a taxi or I walk through an area and you can just feel the tension that the people are kind of like, what is this guy doing here? They may or may not like you. They may or may not understand you, or they might not want to like you or understand you just because you're a foreigner. But, you know, this is not to say that Thais don't have problems with Thais. I mean, obviously, one thing that I don't particularly like, I really don't like this, is that when it comes to kids, well, I think it's acceptable and it's proper to give respect to older people. I think that in Thailand, a lot of times you get people who are older and they might be a total piece of shit, but kids need to give them respect because they are their elder. Cop, 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 ka, ka, ka. And, you know, they're giving respect to this person. And, like, for me, if I was in my, you know, in my country, and, you know, obviously I'm not, I wouldn't give him any respect. I'd probably walk away. And, you know, I've had people in Thailand walk up to me and go, hey, where are you going? What are you doing? And I'll say to them, why? Why do you need to know where I'm going? It's none of your fucking business. And then other times I've just walked away from them. And they'll continue to, if they continue to walk after me, and some do, then I'll say, what is it you want? I don't need to tell you what I'm doing. I don't fucking owe you anything. And this is the thing. I don't owe anybody anything when it comes to some situation like that. Some guy walks up to me on the street. I don't owe them shit. I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to listen to them. I don't have to do anything. There is no law. There is nothing that says I need to do that. Now, to be polite, if somebody comes up and says, hey, I've got this problem. I'm wondering, you know, do you know where I can go to find this or that? Obviously, it's great to help a stranger. But there's a difference between helping someone in need or you know, giving them some directions and having to explain to yourself where you're going and who you're going with and how you're going to get there. And, you know, let's face it, okay? Get real. When people walk up to you, when Thais walk up to you in a tourist area and ask you something like, hey, where are you going? They don't, not only do they not have the right to know where you're going, but there's a reason why they want to know where you're going. And it's because they want to be the one to take you there or whatever it might be, whatever their reason might be. They want to, who knows, they want to take you somewhere else. And, you know, for me, it's like, oh, fuck off. In my head, I'm thinking, fuck off. But to be polite, I don't say that. But I may say, why? Why do you need to know? What do you need to know? And even in, you know, I just got back from Cambodia a couple weeks ago now. And, you know, guys will say, hey, boss, boss, tuk, 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 tuk. And I'd be like, no, thank you. That's all you got to say. No, thank you. And they'll drive up next to you and follow you around. Just like in Thailand, they'll drive next to you and just follow you. Come on, you go here, you go there. No, I don't want to. And what I always laugh at is I'm walking down the street and I'm like 50 feet from my hotel. And they'll go, oh, come on, boss, tuk, 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 tuk. And, you know, the thing with me is that if I'm the kind of person who, if I need a fucking ride, I'll ask you. I don't need you to bug me to go with you. If I need a ride, I'll walk up to you and go, can you please take me from here to there? And I understand they're trying to sell, they need to make money and all that kind of stuff, but sometimes I'm like, you know, 30 feet, 50 feet away from my hotel, and I'm going, oh, you want to take me from here to my hotel right there? You know, I mean, it's like, and some people get offended, some Thais, even some Cambodians, not nearly as many, but I've had Thais get offended when I say, no, I don't want to ride. What the fuck don't you understand? I want to walk. Get the fuck, I don't owe you shit. Just because you're a tuk-tuk driver and you don't have money or you want my money doesn't mean I need to capitulate and go along with you. So, anyway, I just thought I'd talk about that a little bit. So that's about all I got. Until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok D, lat jerkin mai.